Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
evening to all of my precious brothers and sisters in the Lord. I pray that you're doing well. But if you're going through, then of course you need to know that the Lord is nigh to them of a broken heart. The gentleman who penned this famous hymn that has been sung for decades is a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. He penned "It Is Well With My Soul" after a great, great, great series of calamities. First and foremost, Spafford was a very successful lawyer who had invested heavily in real estate in the city of Chicago. But when the city of Chicago experienced the Great Fire of 1871, Spafford basically lost all of his investments. He was basically penniless. Then his businesses took an economic downturn when he planned to once again start up and get things moving financially, but he just couldn't. Then finally, there were so many zoning problems with real estate and just a lot of issues that he was going through. And so it seems like there were blocked doors, you know, at every turn. Then he promised to take his family on a vacation to Europe. And because he was involved in business and he had to tie up some loose ends with the zoning and the problems he was facing, he sent his wife ahead with his four daughters. And while they were in the Atlantic Ocean crossing over into England, the ship was hit by another ship. There was a collision at sea. And Spafford received a telegram from his wife saying, I basically have survived, saved alone. The girls are gone. They've died. And so Spafford, grieving with his wife, was inspired to write this famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I would encourage you to get the lyrics and just look at the words. I mean, they're just powerful, just powerful words. Powerful words. And so I want to read to you Psalm 34, verse 18, because that's today's word of encouragement. God is nigh to those who are of a broken heart. Are you of a broken heart today, or do you know someone who presently has a broken heart? Well, remind them. God is ever so near. He is ever so near. When you think he has abandoned you, when you think he has turned his back on you, when you think he has removed the hedge of protection, he is ever so near. Ever so near. And so David wrote, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And he saves such as be of a contrite spirit." He saves, he saves, he delivers, he rescues. Father, we ask you to bless this word. We ask you to bless this word and make it as it was medicine to our hearts, to our broken hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Let us sense as though you were speaking to us directly. Minister to us, O God. We need healing. Healing of the heart. Healing of our emotions. We're just so devastated in this hour that we need the great physician to show up and comfort us and heal us by the power of his word. Your words can heal us, Lord. The Bible says that you sent the word and healed them. Send your word right now, Lord, and heal broken hearts. We pray in the precious, precious, precious name of Jesus. We pray. We pray. Amen. This word, Psalm 34, verse 18, is interesting because, again, David says, Yahweh, the covenant God, the covenant God. And we tend to think that when something happens, it's because our covenant or our contract with God has lapsed. But I can assure you, my brothers and sisters, that since the new covenant is sealed with the blood of Jesus, that the covenant was ratified not with the blood of goats and bulls, but with the precious and holy blood of the Lamb of God, I can assure you that our covenant with God, our contract with God, there are no lapses in coverage. There are no lapses in what? Coverage. You know, years ago, I used to be a proponent of tithing. And then God began to speak to me about tithing. And I was wrestling with the issue about that we read from Malachi 3, and I see now that this is something that is done in so many churches, if not 99.9% of the churches now, that before the offertory is made and the collections and the buckets come out and the ushers come out to receive the tithes and offerings, that they send someone up to read a laminated sheet. And on that laminated sheet, week after week, month after month, year after year, those who are sent up to read the scripture on giving is basically Malachi chapter 3, with a real emphasis on the term, you are cursed with a curse. And I had an awakening. I had an epiphany. I had, you know, it's one of those things that one believes, tithing, and I, of course, believe in tithing, but not the way it's taught today. Not this compulsion. I believe that if the Lord has worked in your heart, if you are born again, if you are redeemed, you don't have a problem with giving. You don't have a problem with giving. The born-again believer gives joyfully, gives hilariously. For God loveth what? A cheerful giver. Now, there are those who would teach that when you stop tithing, that there's a lapse in coverage and that great calamities can befall you. I don't subscribe to that. We're not cursed with a curse. In fact, according to the book of Ephesians, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, the recipients of all spiritual blessings. So God doesn't bless us and then curse us simultaneously. He's not a psychotic God. And so I've come to terms with the fact that tithing is not for today's believers. It's not for New Testament believers, even though I have messages where I taught on tithing. But like I said, I had an epiphany because I see scripturally that in the New Testament, there is no lapse of coverage, that Jesus paid it all, that he paid it with his blood, and his blood has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And so some would say, well, these things have befallen me because, as they read in my church, I missed tithing, or I did this, or I did that, and now I'm cursed with a curse. Look what the Bible says. If you were cursed with a curse, and let's just say God cursed you, then this, again, this speaks of a psychotic God. For it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. So what is, so you mean to tell me that it is God who breaks your heart and then he's near you? That's not the God that we serve. That's not our Heavenly Father. He doesn't have multiple personalities. No, notice the Lord, the covenant God. You see, Yahweh is the name. God said to Moses, when you go before the children of Israel, tell them Yahweh sent you. That's Exodus chapter 6. Tell them, their fathers didn't know me. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know me by Yahweh. Tell them that Yahweh, the covenant God, the God who starts something and then ensures that whatever he starts is completed. So it says, our covenant God, Yahweh, who goes by the name of Yahweh, he is nigh, he is near. He is near to them that are what? Of a broken heart. Now, the word broken is interesting because the word broken means, in Hebrew, it simply means something that has been smashed. Something that was once whole, but now it has been converted. It has experienced a transition where this thing that was once whole now lies on the ground in little pieces. So God is near them who are of a broken what? Who are of a broken heart. See, the heart, the leb, as it's in Hebrew, L-E-B, the leb is the seat of emotion. This is why we're always talking about, I love you with all my heart. I give you my heart today. You see, the heart is what? The seat of one's inner nature. The seat of one's inner being, where all true emotions and affections lie. And so the psalmist says that Yahweh is near, is present, is right next to those who have their hearts smashed and shattered into little pieces. And that's what inspired Horatio Spafford to pen that hymn. It is well with what? My soul. It is well. Why? Because, yes, my daughters have died, yet I know that they transition from this life to the next life, and that now they're in the presence of God. So my heart is broken because I don't have my daughters. But I know that the Lord is near me on this side and their mother on this side, and he is near them. The Lord is near. He's nigh. He's ever present. You know, when people get bad news, when there's a death in the family or there's some calamity, you know that relatives start showing up, right? They start. Remember when Job's friends heard what had transpired in Job's life, what did they do? They came near Job. They came to visit him. And notice, you cannot have a better visitor when you have a broken heart than God. Job's friends sat there for 7 days in silence. They sat there. And the Bible tells us that only Job's friends appeared. His family members didn't even appear. There's no record that any of his family members appeared. And so, who shows up? Who's ever near? Who's ever present? When your heart has been shattered into little pieces, the Lord, your covenant God. Don't let anyone ever tell you that he's turned his back on you. Don't believe the lie and say, well, it must be because you didn't tithe. It must be because you opened the door to the enemy. No, 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 no. He that keepeth Israel does not, what? Slumber nor sleep. In God's great providence, he allows these things to happen in life. But we are comforted with this word, for we know that all things worketh together for good for them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. On this side of eternity, we don't understand what's going on. On the other side, we'll have clearer understanding. So the comforting word is, the encouraging word is, that the Lord is what? Nigh. Is your heart, present time, in little pieces? Well, the Lord is with you. The Lord is right there. The Lord is the first visitor to arrive and the last to leave. He is ever nigh those who are of what? A broken heart. Then the psalmist goes on to say, and he saveth, he rescues. He rescues. Who does he rescue? Rescue such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, the word contrite is interesting because. See, contrite is far more severe than broken. See, broken is the Hebrew word sabar, S-A-B-A-R, sabar. Again, sabar means to smash, to break an object into pieces. But the word contrite goes further than broken. In fact, the Hebrew word for contrite is daka, D-A-K-K-A. And there it means to be pulverized, to be turned into what? Dust, powder. So look what happened. Look what happened. Not only was your heart broken, but then it was turned to powder. Whatever little pieces you had, you can at least you can pick up the pieces and glue them together. No, you can't glue powder. Once something is pulverized, see, some if you have a jar and it falls and it breaks, if you want to glue it, you can glue it together. But now when that jar is completely pulverized, it's just time to bring out the broom and the dustpan and sweep it up. Because you're not going to sit there and try to glue together all these little grains of sand or mud or clay to put this jar back together. It doesn't pay. But look what the Bible says. Even when your heart, even when your spirit, even when your ruah is pulverized, the Lord can put it back together. When there is no, when people say, that's it, it's done, when people say, now this thing has ventured into the area of the impossible, you're never going to be able to put that jar back together. What does the Lord say? He says, he saveth those of a pulverized spirit. That's what God can do. Even when people give you the bad news, you're finished. You'll never recover from this. And that's what depression is. When people are depressed, what do? They stop eating. They sleep all the time. They've lost all desire for life. That's what happens. And the Bible says that what does God do? He saveth those whose ruah, whose spirit, whose animation has been pulverized. I tell you, we serve an awesome God. So no matter what it is you're going through, are you depressed? Give your depression to God. Remember that ruah, or spirit, is what God gave you when you were born, right? You came out of your mama's womb, you had what? Ruah, you had spirit, you had life. The doctor pulled you out, and what did they look for? For you to start crying. Ruach. Now you don't want to live anymore. This is what comes out of your. I have no reason to live. My life is over. You see, that's a pulverized spirit. But here comes Yahweh to the rescue. Not only can he revive your spirit and give you a desire to live again, but also he can take that broken heart and perform a miracle. This is what Job's wife said to Job. This is what Job's wife said to him in chapter 2. It says, chapter 2, verse 9, then said Job's wife unto him, do you still retain thy integrity? Are you still holding on to what you believe? She says, why don't you just curse God and just give up the ghost? Stop holding on. Just give up the ghost. But he said unto her in verse number 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women that speaks. What? Shall we receive good things at the hand of God and not receive that which is evil? In all this did Job sin not with his lips. See, his wife said, look, your spirit is crushed, your heart is broken, why don't you just lie there and just give up? And he said, absolutely not. What did Job said? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he lives. And because he lives, I'll live. Because my God specializes in mending broken hearts and reviving spirits. Be encouraged. There is nothing that you can be going through that God can't handle. None of us have gone through what Job went through. None of us. I don't care who you are. None of us. None of us. And these foolish preachers who use story and then say God is going to give you double for your trouble. You think Job wanted double for his trouble? He didn't want trouble, but trouble came. But here is a man, Job, who never lost his faith in God. And he lost 10 children. Forget about losing sheep and losing. And you see, that's what happened to Spafford. Horatio Spafford lost all of his real estate investment in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. He put his earnings into real estate. And when Chicago went up in smoke, so did his properties. He lost it all. So like Job, Spafford knew what it was to lose his business. Job lost his oxen. Job lost his sheep. Job lost his she-asses. Job lost all of his business ventures. And then, like Spafford, Job lost all his children. But like Spafford, Job knew that his Redeemer liveth. Do you have that confidence? Do you know that? Because if your Redeemer liveth, you shall live again. Even though right now you feel like dying. Even though right now you feel like giving up. Even though right now you feel you have no more fight in you. Remember, the Lord, our covenant God, our Heavenly Father, is ever so nigh to them of a broken heart. And those who are of a pulverized spirit. Father, right now we come to you and we ask you to do the impossible. We ask you, O great shepherd of Psalm 23, to do what no human shepherd or counselor can even attempt to do. and that is to mend hearts. You specialize in mending hearts. You specialize in doing the impossible. You specialize in giving life. Minister right now, O Lord, to your hurting children. Speak to them. And most of all, let them feel your presence. Let them feel that the Lord their God is nigh them, is near them, is with them. We pray in Jesus' precious name. My brothers and sisters, do not forget to tune in tomorrow for our prayer service, the most important service at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, tomorrow, 7 p.m. We're going to have prayer. Tune in. We have a word for you, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God for all of our needs. We're going to pray for the sinners. We're going to pray for lost souls. We're going to pray for their salvation. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to pray for restoration. We're going to pray for prosperity and financial blessings. We're going to pray all that Scripture encourages to pray for. So don't forget, tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m., for our prayer service, the most important service at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. I'll leave you with the hymn once again, "It Is Well With My Soul." God bless you. Radio Shepherd signing off.
Bye.